Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right now, joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, Grant McCauley, who's the best baseball guy in the business and covers baseball not only for us, but covers the MLB and the Atlanta Braves. And Grant, are you willing to say right now that Sean Newcomb is the ace of this staff?
I'd be willing to say that he's the guy that's pitched the most like one thus far, and I don't know that anybody really expected that necessarily coming into spring training, because you spent a lot of time talking about, you know, Julio Teheran and what his role should be, and he's the guy that's kind of been forced into that number one starter's role for a while. And then you just looked at the young gun factor that the Braves were going to be dealing with Mike Foltynewicz, who's throwing tonight, with Sean Newcomb, and with other arms that might be filling out this Braves rotation. Other than Brandon McCarthy, you really kind of had some unknown quantities, I'd say, as far as the full season is concerned, because this is Sean Newcomb's first full season in the big leagues. But, I mean, this is a kid that went home, put a lot of work in over the offseason, and he's really developed that third pitch. That's been the difference maker for him. That changeup has made him a much more lethal starting pitcher, a much better pitcher overall. And I think right now, I mean, regardless of whether or not he's the ace of the staff, he's starting to make a nice little case toward being a National League All-Star, which is pretty cool.
You're right, man. After losing that first game, he's been money. And also, you know, learning, you know, it's some things that we talked about when Smoltz was on with us a few weeks back, Grant, getting, you know, learning the game, you know, learning the major league game, learning how to, you know, how to frame your pitches, how to set things up, how to stay composed. Even last night, you know, after giving up a run early, he doesn't lose his stuff.
No, it's a great example that of that, Mike, last night, because he went out and walked the first two hitters that he faced. And he did so by throwing, I think, seven consecutive balls in walking the leadoff man and then going 3-0 to Bryce Harper before finally getting in the strike zone. And then he walked Bryce Harper. And you thought about last year where there just seemed to be some nights where it's like, oh, no, Sean Newcomb is not going to be able to locate his fastball. People are going to be able to eliminate the curveball because he was essentially a two-pitch pitcher for much of last season. What's going to be the outcome? And probably not good, because he had a couple of, you know, real clunkers of starts that didn't last very long, but, you know, gave the other team a lot of runs early and put the Braves in a big disadvantage. That was not the case last night. He was able to grind out that first inning. He didn't walk another batter after walking the first two guys last night. Only picked up a couple of strikeouts. They both came to end his outing, but really impressive top to bottom what he was able to do, innings 1 through 7, to really show you how far he has come in 1 year. And again, to go back to Carl's original point and or question, you know, is this a guy developing into an ace? He very well could be, because performances like that show you just exactly, you know, not so much physically, but mentally what he's capable of doing.
Grant McCauley joining us here talking about the Braves. We'll talk about the matchup tonight. I want to take you back to last night and even in spring training. Remember we talked about the Braves stealing more bases, putting more pressure on the pitching of the opposing team? I thought Albies last night, just the base path, paying attention to what's going on. That gaff at second base in the bottom of the third after Freddie's hit his double. But that gets you, you know, an important run right there, where if he's not on his game, it doesn't happen. I just feel like that's been a big difference as well this year with this club.
It's been a huge difference maker for the Braves as far as how they run the bases. And I think we may have talked about this a little bit in the last few weeks, and not just the stolen base column, which of course is kind of a measurable thing that you look at and you see where they are. And, you know, being one of the, you know, top five teams in the major leagues in stolen bases, or at least one of the top, you know, two or three in the National League. It's not necessarily just that. It's that you guys going first to third, guys putting themselves in position to score from first on a ball hit to the wall. Ron Washington, I think, has been a big part of that in terms of, you know, that final leg, you know, and getting guys home from third. And then, of course, Eric Young. I think you've got to do a lot or look a lot to him, because this was a bona fide base stealer throughout his career in the major leagues, a guy that could steal 30, 40 or more bases, and a guy that I think in bringing him in has brought his acumen not just as a base stealer, but also just a good instinctual base runner who just reminds people of the situation as they are at first and gets them over to Ron Washington, who, of course, can, you know, get them on home, hopefully, when the time is right. And I haven't seen too many, you know, overzealous sins from Ron Washington this year either. There were a couple last year that you just kind of wondered what exactly they were doing. But I think that the awareness of the base runner and obviously, you know, the placement of the base hit and knowing the defender and those kinds of things all speaks to a larger dynamic at play for the Braves in terms of, you know, really analyzing and scouting top to bottom, you know, what the other team is doing and what you're going to be capable of doing to take every advantage you can. And on the bases is a great place to do it.
Strasburg going up against Fulte tonight at SunTrust. Our man at SunTrust, Grant McCauley, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Ender Inciarte back to the top of the lineup with the Acuna injury, and he's just kicking butt again, 2-for-4 last night. Freeman, 335. Markakis, 333. Point I'm getting to, Grant, do you maybe take your time with Acuna? They said a week from today, but do you think it goes beyond that?
Nah, I really wouldn't expect it to go too far beyond that. They may decide that he needs a couple of games, maybe just to, no pun intended, just get his legs back under him and just have that little bit of experience, if you will. But if he feels like he's ready to go, I mean, this is the kid that was vaulting over the top of the dugout railing to get to home plate for that walk-off for Johan Camargo the other night. So I know he is at times wearing a brace around that knee. I saw it yesterday after the game, but then I've seen him walk around the clubhouse just fine without one. So I think overall he's doing pretty well. He survived a pretty serious scare, and I think the Braves are pretty fortunate. Ronald Acuna is pretty fortunate that that wasn't a whole lot worse than it was. But you know, to get back to your question or to make the main point about Acuna, I think they want him back as quickly as possible, and I think that a lot of this this DL stint, the big reason for it, other than the obvious injury scare, was the fact that they did want to take time to make sure that anything that that might have swelled up got the chance to really kind of, you know, abate and subside and allow him to be back and playing at 100%, because his legs are a huge part of his game. He's one of the five fastest players in baseball. So I think it's pretty important to make sure his legs are healthy going forward.
Grant, you wrote a great piece on the website, 929thegame.com, talking about, this was last week, guys, you want to go check it out, the third base possibilities for this club moving forward. What do you ultimately see happening there?
It's a good question, and one that I just kind of posed because as fans are asking about it, I'm sure the club is internally, you know, trying to decide what they want to do. And, of course, you know, in the media, we wonder what exactly the Braves can do, because you look around and you feel good about what you've got going at first base. You have an all-star and an MVP-caliber player there. The future of your franchise may be in left field and Ronald Acuna. We'll see where he plays long-term in terms of one of those outfield spots. You have your leadoff man, your Gold Glove center fielder, and Ender Inciarte, at least whether or not he's leading off or not, but Ozzie Albies has also come up and shown a lot, and you feel like Dansby Swanson is a big part of your future. But what I'm getting at is that corner, that hot corner position, is one that, you know, you have a hot shot prospect in Austin Riley, who in a couple of weeks, that Super 2 deadline will have officially passed. Maybe if he's hitting as well as he is right now, if he continues that, do you give him a look? Can Johan Camargo benefit from this playing time with Jose Bautista gone? He's gotten a lot of at bats. He's come up with a couple of big hits. And Johan Camargo, by the way, is walking almost three times as often as he did a year ago. So he's adding points to that on-base percentage. And as we know, putting guys on base turns into runs. The Braves are pretty good at that this year, and Camargo's kind of been in the middle of that, so that's good to see. It's an interesting question. There'll be some guys out there on the trade deadline, I think, that'll be available. Mike Moustakas with Kansas City. Maybe Adrian Beltre with the Texas Rangers if he decides he wants to waive his 10-5 rights. And then maybe the Blue Jays decide they want to go ahead and shop Josh Donaldson because they're worried that he's going to leave via free agency at the end of the year. Those are some names I looked at and thought would be interesting if they are available, but what would the price tag be? And again, Donaldson, Moustakas, Manny Machado, if you want to throw him in there, they're all free agents, and they're all going to go test free agency at the end of the year. So do you want to, quote-unquote, pay for him twice? If you trade for him, lose prospects, then have to re-sign him on the open market, that's a really difficult line to toe if you're Alex Anthopoulos. But, you know, sometimes when it's your time, it's your year, your window's there, and you need to make the most of it. Those are the difficult questions that GMs have to answer.
And that's the question as Grant McCauley joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We've been talking about all season as we continue to win, and the Braves are back in first by virtue of beating the Nats last night, is, you know, when does that line get drawn in the sand where you are going to be buyers? And last night, Winkler and Vizcaino, gets his 10th save. Would you go after some bullpen help? I think that's the thing I think most Braves fans see is the most pressing need.
I think definitely the bullpen is a place that every club, if you're in contention, would like to add an arm, maybe two. Now, does that mean you go out and get somebody's closer? Possibly. I think Kelvin Herrera with the Royals would be a hot topic, a good name to keep an eye on as far as an available closer. And there'll be a few more on some clubs that, you know, kind of fall out of contention and look to make a move. And I think that whether or not you change your closer, that's a question that they can answer down the road. I think Vizcaino has kind of worked through his early season struggles. For now, he looks pretty good. Winkler's emerged into a guy that's got a borderline all-star candidacy for me right now. Like to see what he does over this next month. But he's been perhaps the most pleasant surprise in that Braves bullpen in years. So you've got some arms that you're going to, that you like. You know, throw AJ Minter in there. Shane Carl's been obviously much more good than bad. Peter Moreland certainly, I think, is a serviceable reliever, but there are some suspect spots, you know, outside of maybe Sam Freeman and AJ Minter. Would you like to have another lefty that you could really rely on? I think that could be pretty important. But yeah, the bullpen is always a place. And if you're, you know, sitting where the Braves are right now, obviously in a you know, top of the division place, or if you're in that wild card within a couple of games and fighting for that playoff spot, I think you owe it to yourself to go out there and determine the ways you can get better, and the bullpen is a great place to start. Braves bullpen has had its ups and downs, but it's kind of one of that middle of the pack, you know, a really upper third bullpens in Major League Baseball. I think people just forget that's a place where there's a lot of attrition and there's a lot of up and down, some volatility involved in that particular game with the matchups we play in 2018 and in the last really decade plus, and utilizing a lot of relievers each and every night.
As far as the lineup's concerned, and I don't know if the lineup card is already out as of yet, but any tweaks that you would make? I really like what Snicker has done and how he's tried to, you know, adjust this lineup. It seems like every button he's pushed has pretty much worked.
Yeah, it certainly has. I think the only thing that people look at, really, if they want to make some kind of change, is maybe putting Ozzie Albies back in the leadoff spot and just having left him there and not really moving Inciarte around. And the thing about it is, if you kind of get into the advanced metrics or even some of the not-so-advanced metrics of your starting position players, Ender Inciarte, in a lot of respects, has been the least productive of that bunch. But I think giving him that opportunity to hit leadoff is Brian Snitzer maybe trying to find a way to kickstart him and get him going too, because Inciarte is a guy that had 200 hits last year. Mm-hmm. He was a perfectly serviceable leadoff hitter, even if his on-base percentage is a little bit lower than I think you'd like it to be. Ozzie Albies has an on-base percentage around 330. Ender Inciarte, I think, was around 360 last year. So those guys may not have that prototypical, you know, Ricky Henderson 400 on-base percentage, but I think they do a lot to add value to the top in the way that they run the bases and the way that they can get on and set the table. So that'd be about the only thing I think. When Acuna does come back, you'll probably see Albies slide back to the top. You'll probably see Acuna plugged right back into the two spot, and then you kind of figure out what you want to do exactly with Inciarte. I don't know how much of that pitcher batting eight stuff they're going to do, but I don't know if you've noticed or not, but a lot of clubs are doing that, including the Nationals last night and the Mets when they were in town as well. They were doing some of that. So a lot of clubs trying that pitcher batting eight thing in the NL this year. It's kind of interesting to see that.
It's Grant McCauley, the best baseball man in town. And again, hopefully the Braves will keep on winning, stay in first place, and then we'll have more fun to talk about with all these moves that might get made by the trade deadline. Have fun at the ballpark, Grant.
All right, will do. Thanks for having me, guys.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.